as we rode out for Nerio. As we rode out for Nerio, captain fell in love with a lady like a dove. I called her by name, Pretty Peggy-O. Will you marry me, Pretty Peggy-O? Will you marry me, Pretty Peggy-O? If you'd marry me, I'll set your city free. And free all the people in the area. Well, I'd marry you, sweet William-O. I'd marry you, sweet William-O. I'd marry you, chickenies are too few. I fear you'll be angry, yo. Mama think, Pretty Peggy-O? What would your mama think, Pretty Peggy-O? What would your mama think if she heard my guineas clink? Saw me marching at the head of my soldiers, oh. If ever I return, Pretty Peggy-O. If ever I return, Pretty Peggy-O. Every rabbit turn, your city I will burn and destroy all the people in the area. Stepping down the stairs, Pretty Peggy-O. Come stepping down the stairs, Pretty Peggy-O. Come stepping down the stairs, let down your yellow hair and bid your last farewell to William-O. Sweet William is dead, Pretty Peggy-O. Sweet William is dead, Pretty Peggy-O. He died for a maid, and he lies in the Louisiana country, yo. Fell in love with a lady like a dove. I called her by name, Pretty Peggy-O.
That is very lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Jeff Reynolds, filling in for Allie Lightfoot, and we are very pleased to have Mr. Tony Furtado in the studio for a talking music session, playing some guitar and banjo and singing a beautiful song. Where does that one come from?
Well, that actually starts off as a Scottish folk song many, many years ago. I don't even know how many. Probably a couple hundred years ago, from what I understand, in a language that I do not understand. I've tried to read the original. It's pretty interesting to look at. But it somehow got resurrected, morphed, transformed into what I just did. Like in the 60s, I know folks like Joan Baez and probably Bob Dylan, Simon and Garfunkel, and the Grateful Dead, lots of folks covered it. And I learned it because I did a show with a buddy of mine named Scott Law. We were asked to do a Jerry Garcia tribute show because it was his 70th birthday. And I didn't really grow up listening to the Dead, so I didn't really have any particular tunes in mind. So Scott set me straight, because otherwise I was going to drown in a sea of online recordings, you know, that were out there. He pointed me in that direction of that tune and a couple others. And this one, it's just always resonated. So I've continued to do that song.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Kind of a sad song, but
hey, you know, it's a folk song. Tells a story.
Beautiful song for a sad story.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you came at music as a result of a school assignment, I understand.
Yeah,
You did a report on banjos when you were a youngster? How did that come about?
Well, this is back when there was still a bit more music in schools. It was probably 78 or 79 when I was in 11th grade. Not 11th grade. I was 11 years old in 6th grade, and took an intro to music class. And in that class, you had to do a report on a musical instrument. I didn't hear the word orchestral instrument. I just heard musical instrument.
We hear what we want to hear.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. So, and the cool thing to me was that we got to make the instrument out of home household items. And at the time, I was really digging making things with my hands. Like, I was making a lot of balsa wood airplanes at the time. And so I instantly thought, okay, I'll take a pie tin, cover it with paper, do the stretched paper thing over it. You know how with balsa wood airplanes, you would use that nasty paper dope, you know, that would stretch the paper.
Tighten it up and shrink it.
Exactly. Yeah, so, but yeah. I figured, well, I'll just take some latex paint, paint the paper, and put it in the oven for, you know, 5 minutes, just kind of snap it up. And then I put a stick on it, rubber bands for frets, nylon fishing string. And I was dreaming this up while the teacher was talking. And I was thinking I was going to be doing a violin. But then I remembered seeing Hee Haw and Beverly Hillbillies at my grandparents' house. You know, I was like, wait a minute, that's a banjo. And so.
So you actually had the instrument in your head before you even knew what it was.
I was more intrigued by the instrument, the making of it. So, but then once I started doing the report and I found out the instrument, the banjo came from Africa originally, and that it had this rich history of being played in all kinds of music. Well, a lot of types of music. Like, I was reading about something called minstrel and jazz I wasn't too familiar with at the time, and something called bluegrass and Appalachian folk music and, you know, blues and Irish music, all these things. I was like, wow, this must be a cool instrument, you know. And I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, so there wasn't really too many of them around. So I begged my parents for a real one for my 12th birthday. And I said, well, you know, I'll take either a banjo or a chemistry set. They got me the banjo. And I started taking lessons, and I just fell in love with it because it was so different and fun to play.
Neat. So you didn't play anything before that?
Nothing. No.
What were you listening to at that time?
You know, just whatever was on the radio. You know, I was really I'm trying to remember who I was really into. I think I had bought my very first cassette tape around that time, and it was by the Eagles. It was Eagles Live, and it was because I kept hearing the song on the radio, and I asked my friends, I said, you know, I keep hearing this song on the radio, and I think it has something called harmony on it. And my friends just knew exactly what I was talking. It was Seven Bridges Road by the Eagles, and I went out and bought the cassette tape and just listened to it nonstop. And cool thing was, they had banjo in the band. And so my first teacher actually really hipped me to, you know, the fact that banjo was being played in rock bands and as well as bluegrass bands. And so he had me listening to a lot of stuff.
Tony Furtado's our guest on Talkin' Music today, and he's just coming off a show, a successful show at the almost full house at the Paradise Theater on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And very, very nice. You had a trio, the Tony Furtado Trio. Tell us a little bit about your bandmates. Who are you playing with these days?
This tour was, it can be different from tour to tour. This tour was a bass player who's based in Denver, who grew up in Telluride, a guy named Charlie Mertens. Wonderful player. I met him just through the grapevine, I know some of the folks that he's played with, and that worked out great. And the fiddle player was Luke Price, and I've known Luke for years. He's been touring with me off and on for the past few years. He's the national fiddle champion right now, as well as last year, and he's also got a band with his wife that they call Dean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to check them out.
Yeah, so much fun to play with those guys,
Oh, it was a great show. Well, you've strapped on another instrument, and
yes.
I've got to ask you about this one because it's an unusual one, too. It is a banjo.
It is a banjo.
But it sounds, I don't know how to describe the sound of this from your show. It's almost a bass.
Yeah, it's
You call it a cello banjo.
It's called a cello banjo or a banjo cello. My usual bass player, Sam Howard, likes to call it the manjo. He said, when the banjo just ain't mean enough.
I was thinking banjo last
banjo,
night.
Banjo, yeah, that's good too. Banjo. Whoa.
Where does this come from? Because I'm not sure I've seen one like this before.
I know that they existed years and years ago, and then they stopped making. I think they probably stopped making them because no one was buying them. But there was a period in time when, there was classic music written for the banjo, like mm-hmm. classical stuff. You could have a banjo band, and there would be a cello banjo, regular size banjo, tenor banjo, all the different sizes.
Right.
You could have banjo bands.
Like a string quartet type.
Yeah. But there's a company called Gold Tone that decided to start doing them again. And, a lot of players have these right now because they're passing them around and stuff. But uh-huh. no one has really – there's only a few players that are out there playing it because what do you play on it, But I ended up writing a few of the songs on my new album, the vocal songs, with this – just sitting down and letting myself be inspired by this thing.
It's very unique. Let's hear what you got.
Okay, I'll do
Tony
the title.
Tony Furtado on the manjo.
Yeah.
Cello banjo.
This is the title track from my my newest album, which is called The Bell. This song's called Broken Bell. Cracked my shell, don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. A broken bell, a broken bell, don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. Shadows rise when they hear the call. Shine the light and you watch them fall. Watch them fall with the coming day. Shine the light and they fade away. Well, I let you in, see inside. You will never change my mind. You will never change my mind. With a DJ gun, DJ gun got a ringing sound. DJ gun gonna tear you down. Well, I let you in, see inside. You will never change my mind. You will never change my mind. Thank you. Copper and tin, copper and tin for a shiny skin. A shiny skin, shimmering new, copper and tin to ring here true. Tolling laws, correct my shell, don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. A broken bell, a broken bell, don't waste your hammer on a broken bell. Well, I let you in, see inside, you will never change my mind. You will never change my mind.
That's quite a voice that instrument has. Huh? Unique, for sure. That's Tony Furtado and a song called Broken Bell, played live here at the KVNF studios. You're listening to Talkin' Music. I'm Jeff Reynolds, sitting in for Allie. And Tony Furtado's our guest today on his way to a show over in Carbondale. And, yeah. And then where? You're based out of Oregon now,
Portland,
is that right?
Oregon, yeah.
And Tony lived in Colorado for many years. I know you were a
little chunk of time, from 96 to 2002.
Bunch of time in Boulder, right?
In Boulder, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. It was fun, you know, definitely fun. I based my band there and would hit the road, go out east, come back, hit the mountains, play the mountains, hit the road, go out west, come back, play the mountains, you know, the whole circuit kind
sure.
of thing.
Yeah. How are you liking the Northwest?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's kind of more my speed climate-wise. Since I grew up in the Bay Area, I wasn't really used to the high desert thing, you know. I get real, real dry real quick, and the altitude kind of messes with me. And I'm not a big snow fan. there's too many strikes against me in the climate. I mean, I love coming here and playing from time to time, but I need the rain falling from the sky, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the new album. I understand that you've kind of cut loose from record labels.
Yeah.
After many years in the record business or in the music business and playing on a number of different labels, you mm-hmm. were with Rounder Records for many years.
I was with Rounder Records all through the 90s. And then I jumped to several different labels after that. When I was making the new album, my intention wasn't necessarily to have my own label, but to just own the music, you know, own the album, maybe license the album out. Just because it was time, you mm-hmm. know. I couldn't see any reason to be tethered to a label. But I had a big shakeup, you know, where I parted ways with lots of folks that were, they were guiding my career.
Mm-hmm.
The guidance wasn't necessarily working for me, and so I decided to guide my own career, and that's where it ended up, you know. I finally said, I think I'm going to start my own label, put this out on my own label, you know, even if it's just to have something on there that says that's what the label is, you know, or maybe it becomes something. Maybe mm-hmm. I release some other albums on it or, you know. And I call the label You Say Furtado Records, which is definitely tongue-in-cheek, but it's also a little bit of an empowering thing for me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Sure. Well, we like it. It's gotten some airplay here at KVNF.
Great.
I have to confess that... you get pigeonholed into bluegrass.
It's so funny.
From probably just from your early days, because
that's
really
kind of
what you did when you were starting out. You actually won the national banjo picking contest out in Kansas.
Did that a couple times
as a bluegrass
fresh
picker.
Out of high school. You know, it was a good thing, and I was definitely in the bluegrass genre in the early 90s, and I felt like a square peg in a round hole. I had too many other influences, and I felt like I was beating my head against a brick wall when I was trying to, you know, create what I was creating, but not necessarily. I didn't feel like I was being received the way I perceived. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, you know. I wanted to definitely play the music that I was hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of meant guiding it toward whoever would listen, you know. And I didn't know that the bluegrass crowd was really getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found, what I did find, was that there is an overlap with that crowd as well as the new crowd I was grabbing for, you know, trying to play what I was feeling and hope that folks would listen.
Yeah, well, the bluegrass genre as a performance area, and you know, there's so many amazing players that have taken the festival scene in so many interesting directions, and I guess progressive bluegrass could be called a genre. In a
yeah,
way, folks
know,
that came out of that bluegrass scene, but then took it into completely different areas and absorbing all kinds of music, and it all just becomes music at one point.
Exactly, that's my point.
It's very hard to categorize. I mean, your music is, I think, really unique. You have a very bluesy feel with a lot of things. Of course, you're writing tons of original stuff.
Yeah,
and you play the banjo, so
I know.
That tends to, people think bluegrass when they see the banjo, for better or worse.
Well, I think also,
but
what
your music doesn't really, it doesn't fit in that pigeonhole by any means. It really is hard to categorize.
I think what I was running into also in the 90s was there was this big resurgence or this big upswell, I should say, of folks who were much more into very traditional bluegrass and very. There was even a turn, like just hardcore bluegrass, and that's cool, but I felt like I was going against the grain with that because I had other influences.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think what's cool is folks are just, they're playing music, you know. A lot of it gets called bluegrass, it shouldn't, you know. To me, I have in my later years become a purist with bluegrass. Like, bluegrass is bluegrass, you know. It's a pretty specific thing. It's a branch off the American roots tree, you know. It's something that Bill Monroe titled his own music, you know, and it's got this, that, and the other. But then once you start adding in drums and this and that, it becomes something else. And so I'm influenced by bluegrass, you know. Some folks call what I do and what other folks like me do Americana, which is a very broad term.
I always bring up the point that In sort of my way of thinking of it, Americana is a radio format, not a musical genre.
There you go.
I mean, and it's a format that includes a whole bunch of genres.
Yes. Yeah. Some people even will say indie roots or indie folk, you know.
That kind of describes
it's whatever
where it's going.
It's still pretty vague.
Yeah. But anyway, Tony Furtado's our guest on Talking Music today, and we've got time for maybe one more tune, and then we're going to turn you loose so you can hit the road once again.
That sounds good.
And,
okay.
You're back to playing a beautiful old Martin guitar, which I understand is from the built in the 40s.
44.
It looks like it's got some miles on it.
Yeah.
You haven't worn any big holes in it yet. But
it'll happen, I'm sure. It'll happen.
But, it's a beautiful instrument.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Your guitar playing to me really stands out as something that when I hear it, I recognize you.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know what it is about that makes that happen, but when I hear you're playing, I say, oh, that's Tony Furtado.
I appreciate that. That's
where in your career did you pick up the guitar as well as the banjo?
Pretty much right after I started playing banjo, but I didn't really do it seriously. I even took classical guitar for like 6 months when I was a kid to make my banjo playing better because I was so focused. I was banjo focused, kind of banjo crazy. I would practice 6-8 hours a day, you know. But then I started getting more into the guitar after I had put out a few albums on Rounder, and I kind of had a little musical shakeup in my head. I was like, I got to switch gears here. I got to do what I want. I got to do what I need to musically. And I had picked up a Ry Cooder album, and it was a religious experience
for
me.
There you go.
So then I borrowed a guitar from someone, and I sat down, got a bottleneck slide, and just started working out everything I could. And then that led to all of his influences. I started checking out Blind Willie Johnson and Fred McDowell, and also some of my other heroes like Taj Mahal and David Lindley, you know. And one thing led to another, and it just kind of shaped my guitar playing. And the other thing that influences my guitar playing, that I have guitar players come up and say, "What the hell are you doing?" It's because I started as a banjo player, you know, and I'm not always having to do this. You know, there's a lot of interpicking that goes on that's almost dobro-like.
All right. Well, Tony Furtado and his beautiful guitar right here on our Talkin' Music program.
Yeah, this is not going to be so much of a picking song, but this is a song that's featured on the new album. It's a song that I wrote after my father passed away, and there's a few of those on the album. It's called Ashes of a Man. Again, sifting through ashes of what you were, a man that I knew, strong as the earth with a gentleman's curse. You left like the wind disappears in the night, with no one to save and nothing to fight. They say I've got your eyes in the way of your hands. That remains are the ashes of a man. The pieces of you just wouldn't burn. You said goodbye, the sound of your voice, the fire in your heart, and the love in your eyes. Left like the wind disappears in the night, no one to save and nothing to fight. They say I've got your eyes in the way of your hands. All that remains are the ashes of a man.
Tony Furtado. His new album is called The Bell, and you can find out more about You Say Furtado Records at TonyFurtado.com. That's F-U-R-T-A-D-O, TonyFurtado.com. Thanks,
That's
Tony.
Me. Yeah, you're welcome.
Sure appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Happy trails.